Well, Conversations with My Dummy here. Steve Charney here. Harry here. Yes, I am. And on this episode, we're going to be listening to Robin and Linda Williams. We're going to be listening to Emo Phillips. Man, I love Emo Phillips. Got to see him live this year. I strongly recommend it. Even if you don't like the rest of the show, just fast forward towards the end and listen to him. He's great. He comes into the show right around 14 minutes, so you can just fast forward right to that if you want. And I'll be doing something on the guitar called St. Louis Tickle, got from Pat Sky.
Yeah, Will Harris here.
Yes, Steve, I am here. And I do want to mention something.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I have this opportunity to present this to the listening audience because, well, it's important news.
Well, go ahead. Tell everybody what it is.
If you look up at the stores anytime soon, don't expect to see Orion's belt. Okay? So if you're not seeing it in the sky, don't freak out. Don't start calling astronomers and wondering what happened to it because it ain't there.
What do you mean? Orion's my favorite constellation, man. It's so easy to see his belt. I love Orion.
Well, he won't be around for a while.
Why, he left the sky?
Well, if you knew what happened last night, you wouldn't ask that question.
Well, what happened?
Well, I was looking up at the stars about midnight, and, well, Orion put on quite a show for us.
Yeah, well, how so?
Well, I stared at the stars for hours, and it was clear that Orion just couldn't hunt anything down. He was getting mighty hungry, I don't have to tell you. Since he couldn't kill anything with his club, he decided to cook up Pisces the fish. Only that fish has been in the sky for a long time, Steve. You know what a fish smells like after it's been out of water for a while?
Sure.
Now take a fish out of the water for several million years. You can get a sense of the stench. So Orion throws the fish into the Big Dipper, thinking he'll cook it. And he has Aquarius, the man with the water, throwing some for boiling. So he's cooking up this fish, using the star Rigel to, you know, heat up the pot. When Ares the Ram smells it, comes over for a bite. Well, Orion isn't going to give his fish to some crummy ram. So the ram backs up and rams him. That loosens Orion's belt, which causes his pants to fall down.
That's terrible.
That's not the worst of it, Steve. The Gemini twins are watching this, and they start laughing. I mean, wouldn't you?
Yeah, sure I would.
Especially when Cygnus the swan flies out of Orion's pants. So there's Orion with his pants down, the swan flying around. Then who should come over and give him a pinch on his behind, but cancer the crab. Now the whole sky is getting in on it. Virgo is screaming with laughter. Andromeda's doubled over from laughing so hard. And Sagittarius the archer is so hysterical, he lets one of his arrows go. Where do you think it lands?
I'm afraid to say.
That's right! Orion's butt! Now the whole sky is really cracking up. Perseus the king is dropping his crown. Ursa Major the bear is growling and won't stop. And Orion tries to run away. Only his pants are down around his ankles, and he trips on Libra the Scales, which was at the time weighing some Beetlejuice for Hercules. So the Beetlejuice is now all over Orion's face, and Canis Major the big dog trots over and starts licking it off. Imagine the scene, Steve.
It's terrible.
It was very funny. Orion with his pants down, shot with an arrow, pinched by a crab, butted by a ram, having a dog licking Beetlejuice off of his face. Swan is flying around. The water's boiling over out of the Big Dipper because he hadn't turned down the flame on Rigel. Fish is stinking to high heaven, literally. And everyone is laughing up a storm. Andromeda, Hercules, Perseus, they all were there.
So what did Orion do after that?
He jumped on Pegasus the horse, and he took off. He's much too embarrassed to be seen in the sky for a while. He's probably hiding out behind the sun or something, at least until his wounds heal and he gets a tailor to make him a new pair of pants.
Well, man, I wish I had seen that.
So tonight, if you look at the stars and you miss Orion's belt, you'll know why. From now on, he's wearing suspenders.
We're going to play a Robin and Linda Williams. Harry, I heard you actually went and saw Robin and Linda Williams in concert, didn't you?
Yeah, they were great.
Mm-hmm. They are great folk singers.
Yeah. Kind of an embarrassing thing happened. I got thrown out of their dressing room.
Ooh, how did that happen?
I figured I could sneak backstage after the show and introduce myself.
Yeah, so, did you?
Sure I did. There they were in their dressing room. So I walk over, and I say to the woman, "Hi, Robin." You see, Robin can be a boy or a girl's name. That's what confused me. But suddenly I realized my mistake. When I turn to the guy and I say, "Hi, Linda." Ooh, I mean, Linda can't be a boy's name, so I realize that he must be Robin and she must be Linda. So I think if he's not Linda, she must be Robin. So I turn to her again and I say, "Hi, Robin." No, that's wrong. So I turn to him and I say, "Hi, Robin," which I think is right. So now I turn to her and I get a block, so I'm so nervous. So I think, who is it? Oh, yeah. "Hi, William." "William? Who's William?" Now, where did I come up with that? So then I realize, wait, it's Robin and Linda Williams. And that's why I thought her name was William. Only it's Williams. So if it's plural, are they both William? We have two Williams here? No, that doesn't make any sense. And anyway, William is a boy's name and she's a girl. But Bill is short for William, and Billy is another form of Bill. Billy Holiday, that's a girl's name. So I say, "Hi, Billy." Then I turn to the guy and I think, what's short for Robin? Robbie. So I say, "Hi, Robbie." Billy and Robbie. No, that doesn't seem to be right either. So I turn to the girl, and I remember something about Linda. What's short for Linda? So I say, "Hi, Lynn." Now, if only Brooke Shields was around, we'd have Brooklyn. No, that's stupid, I'm thinking to myself. How am I going to get this sorted out? Suddenly I realize, Robin and Linda Williams. That's R and L Williams. R and L is also short for right and left. Okay, that's a clue. Robin's on my right, Linda's on my left. So I turn to the right, and I say, "Hi, Robin." And I turn to my left and I say, "Hi, Linda." Only the guy's on my left and I'm calling him Linda. So I ask them to switch places so Robin will be on my right, Linda will be on my left. Okay, let's try this again, I say. On my right is Robin. "Hi, Robin." And on my left is Canary. Canary? Where did I get Canary? Oh, yeah, Robin is a type of bird, and so is a canary. And canaries sing, and Robin and Linda sings. Only I realize it's not a canary, it's Linda. So I say, "I'm sorry, Canary. I mean, Linda." Only for some reason, I'm facing the guy again. And I realize that Linda isn't a girl's name, so I'm back to where I started. So I grab hold of the guy, and I say, "Hi, Robin." Then I grab the woman, and I say, "Hi, Linda." Then I grab myself, and I say, "Hi, Harry." Harry, that's me. I didn't know you guys were a trio. And that's when they threw me out.
I got the notion, I got the motion, from the beetle with the boogie-woogie beat. There's set of beetle all big and fat, sharp as a needle and a high straw hat. He's got a lot of limb and silly little feet, yeah, he's the beetle with the boogie-woogie beat. I got the notion, I got the motion, from the beetle with the boogie-woogie beat. You know it sounds kind of silly and it don't make sense. A grasshopper sitting on the barbed wire fence, sitting there spitting and he shakes his feet. Yeah, he got it from the beetle with the boogie-woogie beat. They got the notion, they got the motion, from the beetle with the boogie-woogie beat. Well, the June bug dancing with a great big fly, and ain't very good, but they sure do try. A working on the sweat and pouring on the heat. Yeah, they got it from the beetle with the boogie-woogie beat. They got the notion, they got the motion, from the beetle with the boogie-woogie beat. And there's Grandpa Sly with a hat full of gold. He can't drink cider cause he's too darn old. He's getting kind of feeble, still he grinds his feet. Yeah, he's looking for the beetle with the boogie-woogie beat. They got the notion, they got the motion, from the beetle with the boogie-woogie beat. They got the notion, they got the motion, from the beetle with the boogie-woogie beat.
It's time for untrue facts.
Wait. Let me get this straight. These are facts, but they're untrue.
True.
Wait, so they are true?
Untrue.
Are they true or are they untrue?
They're untrue.
So they're not facts because they are untrue. It's an oxymoron.
Hey, oh, you call it a moron.
Just read your paper there.
Okay. Would it be better if instead of calling it, you know, untrue facts, we call it fake news?
Yeah, I like that better.
Okay, these are fake news, but I'll call it untrue facts for the rest of the segment.
Whatever you want. Just get on with it.
First, untrue fact. It's a little-known fact that the computer mouse, when first designed, was green in color and had feathers on it. They called it a parrot. Only Bill Gates kept getting his hands stuck by the feathers, so they took the feathers off and called it a frog.
Really?
Yes, really. But it didn't stop there. Frogs hop, and this created problems with the device. It was hard controlling the thing with it hopping all over the place, Dave. So it was back to the drawing board. Other failed designs were the tree sloth, the parasitic stomach virus, the foot fungus, and the aardvark. It was only when they painted it white and put a long cord on it that they finally settled on the mouse. Rest is history.
Okay. Comforting to know that I don't have to believe a word you're saying.
Uh-huh. Now, here's another tidbit. Rain is not wet.
What do you mean by that?
I don't have to explain myself.
It feels wet.
No, it doesn't. How can you say that? I can't. You say it for me. You're making me talk.
Is that true?
Yes, it's true.
Aha! I gotcha. If it's true, then it's not an untrue fact and therefore has no place on this show.
You got me there.
So I ask again, how can you say that?
The mortar that holds the stone of the Sistine Chapel is jello.
You know you're annoying.
Here's an item. Lenin, the man who overthrew the Tsar and was considered the father of communism in Russia, was only 3'2". Other personages throughout history who never reached the height of 4 feet were Cleopatra, Christopher Columbus, and Abraham Lincoln.
Lincoln was a giant.
Nope, he was only 3'6".
This is untrue, right?
What are you, dense? I keep telling you it's untrue. Michael Jordan was one of the great basketball players of all time. He's only 5'6".
He looks so tall on television.
Television could do that to people. Another short person, Muhammad Ali, 4'11".
How could he beat Joe Frazier and Sonny Liston if he's 4'11"?
He was peppy! Now, another untrue fact here. The Mona Lisa is a self-portrait.
Wait a second, you mean Leonardo da Vinci didn't paint her?
Nope, Mona did it herself.
So why is da Vinci giving credit for it?
Well, because Da Vinci's Mona Lisa sounds so much better than Mona Lisa's Mona Lisa. Even she had to agree on that point.
Hope there's not too much more of this.
Let's see what we got here. Okay, before razor blades were made from stainless steel, they were made out of mud.
Huh?
Even though the fad raged through Europe for a few months, it quickly became evident that a mud razor blade couldn't cut a whisker if the whisker was made out of butter. So they quickly fell out of fashion, and a few years after that, honed steel came into use.
All right, that's it.
One more.
No.
Come on. Clouds are really cigarette smoke that the tobacco companies have been blowing into our sky for years to remind us to buy Marlboros.
Clouds are an advertisement.
Exactly. And glass is really made out of cheese.
That's it.
Okay. That ends our untrue facts for today.
I love that. Okay, so patreon.com/Steve Charney is where you want to go if you want to support this program and become a patron. Patreon, patreon.com/Steve Charney. That'll do it.
School, and I'm watching some men building a new house, and the guy hammering on the roof calls me a paranoid little weirdo in Morse code. As soon as the men left for the day, I saw they had just poured wet cement for the basement floor. So I jumped into the wet cement, and then I slipped, and I fell backwards, and I hit the back of my head on a pipe coming out of the floor. When I came to early the next morning, the pipe held my head above the surface, while the rest of my body below the neck was completely covered by the now hardened cement. I thought, well, this is bad. I know I'm not going to fit into the new family's decorating scheme. Unless, of course, they've chosen a last day of Pompeii motif. So I'm lying there hour after hour after hour, and then my friend Jimmy Peterson comes to the window. He said, Emo, are you stuck in that cement? I said, no. Last night I didn't finish my broccoli, and my mom chopped my head off and tossed it here. And he screams and runs away. So the next morning, I'm still lying there, reflecting on how there's a time and a place for sarcasm. And it starts to rain. And after several hours, the basement begins flooding with water. I'm yelling, help, help! Which I wish I would have thought of the day before, you know. And after a while, the water starts seeping into my nostrils. And just as the water starts seeping into my nostrils, my dad jumps into the basement, showing he was a complete stranger to Archimedes' principle of liquid displacement. So I'm trying desperately at this point to evolve a blowhole. But my dad takes out a flashlight, a torch, you know, and he puts the cylinder part into my mouth so I could breathe through it like a snorkel. So now I'm choking on the batteries. But my dad takes out a chisel, and before you could translate the Book of Maccabees from Hebrew to Lithuanian, he frees me from the cement. He said, well, Emo, I had you out in no time at all. I said, well, geologically, perhaps, you know.
Not only can you catch this podcast on iTunes, but now on Spotify as well, and Google Play. SteveCharney.com. That's where you want to go for a lot of information about what I do, man, my whole career, my whole platform. And you can also email me, steve@stevecharney.com. If you forget that, you just go to the website at the bottom of every page. You can just click on it, and that'll take you to the right address. If you want to comment about the show, I'd love to hear from you. Also, there's a for sale page if you happen to be interested in getting some children's books or some CDs or a DVD. That's good, too. Also, my bio and a lot of other information about my stage shows and everything else. Okay, you want to hear the coolest palindrome you've ever heard? The coolest and the longest. Palindrome, of course, reads the same forwards as backwards. I love Yo Banana Boy. That's a good palindrome, but here's one for you. Dennis, Nell, Edna, Leon, Nidra, Anita, Rolf, Nora, Alice, Carol, Leo, Jane, Reed, Dina, Dale, Basil, Ray, Penny, Lana, Dave, Denny, Lena, Ida, Bernadette, Ben, Ray, Lila, Nina, Joe, Ira, Mara, Sarah, Mario, Jan, Ina, Lily, Arn, Betty, Dan, Reba, Diane, Lynn, Ed, Eva, Dana, Lynn, Pearl, Isabel, Ada, Ned, Dee, Rena, Joel, Laura, Cecil, Aaron, Flora, Tina, Arden, Noel, and Ellen Sind. Wonderful palindrome. You're going to have to trust me. It really does read the same backwards as forwards.